I'm Paul. You're here on purpose. God's not finished with you yet. Your best days are right in front of you, and you have victory in your life because Jesus lives in you.
We've been talking about this guy in the Old Testament named Joseph, and he was favored by his father. He got a beautiful coat. He had a dream to lead his family. He had more than one dream, all about leadership and all about being an impact to his family and to the world. And when he shared that dream with his brothers, they hated him even more. They saw the favor of their father on him. They heard his dreams. And out of jealousy, they threw him into a pit and they sold him as a slave. They pulled him out of the pit and they said, instead of leaving him to die, let's make some money off our brother. And so they sold him as a slave to these Ishmaelite travelers who then carried him off to Egypt. We're going to pick up today in part two of the Joseph series. And I want to title this message, Favor in Frustration. Favor in Frustration. If you have a Bible, go to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Come on. Actually, well, Genesis 39. Sorry. Genesis 29 is... Yes! We got another try at that. Genesis 39. Verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down. Have you ever felt like your life had been taken down? You ever felt like your dreams had been taken down? Ever felt like your confidence had been taken down? Anyone ever been there before where you're just like, man, I am like feeling insecure, feeling frustrated. I was happy. Anyone had your happiness just kind of ripped from you? Yeah, taken down. Here Joseph was. He went from being the favored son of his father, living in his dad's house, having meals with his family, enjoying the luxury of the promised land. He lived in Canaan, which was the promised land in Israel. And all of a sudden, in one day, he's now waking up in Egypt and he's been taken down. He's been taken down to a place of extreme lows. Joseph's story is a story of highs and lows. The high of getting a coat from his father, the high of having a beautiful dream, a dream that was gonna be amazing, and the low of experiencing the jealousy of his brothers. And now an even lower low of being sold and taken down to Egypt. Now watch this. It says Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials. Let me stop right there. Joseph, in his mind, probably thought, I'm like 100 miles backwards from my dream. I didn't just take one step back. I just took like 100 miles back from where I was supposed to be. Like, this is not a part of Joseph's dream. He didn't have a dream of Egypt. He didn't have a dream of pyramids or Pharaoh. He had a dream of leading his brothers. So in his mind, he's like, what am I doing here? Why am I here? Now, we get the beauty of being able to look at the whole story and we go, man, this is exactly part of the plan and the process where God is getting him ready to lead a nation. We get to see that, but Joseph didn't see that. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a script. So in his mind, he's like, what is happening? This is frustrating. Have you ever been there before where you're just in a season and you're like, this is frustrating? Like, you're in a city that just feels frustrating. You're in a job that feels frustrating. You're with some family members that are just frustrating you. You're with some roommates that are frustrating. You're with a boyfriend. You're with someone and you're like, this is frustrating. This is complicated. This is difficult. That's where Joseph's at. He's in a place that feels frustrating. And it says this, Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Little did Joseph know that he was actually closer to his dream than he ever was before. He was closer to a place of leadership that he would one day be promoted to. He was one step away from Pharaoh. He was one step away from Pharaoh. Here he was, and he was working for Potiphar, who was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh. Could it be that your place of frustration is one step closer towards your dream? Could it be that the season and the job and the situation that feels frustrating to you is actually God's plan and process to take you one step closer to your dream, and you're closer than you realize? Turn to someone next to you and say, you're closer than you think. You're closer to your destiny than you think. You're closer to your purpose than you think. By the way, purpose is a big topic in the story of Joseph. I think sometimes we think that purpose starts when we finally reach the dream. But purpose started for Joseph before he ever landed into the position of leadership that he was dreaming of one day being in. Joseph learned that purpose is not defined by Pharaoh. Purpose is not defined by Potiphar. Purpose is not defined by his brothers or even by his own father. That purpose comes from God and God alone. And when God defines my purpose, then I can work at Quick Trip and be happy. I can work at Home Depot and be happy. I can work for Victory Church and be happy because my purpose goes with me everywhere I go. Whether I'm single or married, whether I have kids or don't have kids, none of that stuff defines my purpose. Pharaoh does not define my purpose. Potiphar does not define my purpose. God defines my purpose. And the beauty about purpose is purpose supersedes location and vocation. In other words, I can fulfill my purpose in America, and I can also fulfill my purpose in Afghanistan. I can fulfill my purpose in Manford, Oklahoma, and I can also fulfill my purpose in Paris, France. I can fulfill my purpose in Orlando, Florida, Miami, Florida. I think sometimes we think a location is what's going to help our purpose really come to pass. And God says, it's not about location. It's not even about vocation. Because we're waiting. Like, one day when I'm working for the church, I'll really be fulfilling my purpose. One day when I'm a missionary. No, you're a missionary right now. If you're waiting to become a pastor by title or position, you're missing your purpose, because you should be pastoring right now without a title. When I went to Oral Roberts University as a freshman in 2004, any ORU students in the house? Yeah! So I went to ORU in 2004, and I was hungry for a title. I went to the RA office. I said, I want to be an RA. An RA is someone who oversees like a floor of guys on campus. And I was like, I need a title. I need a position. I'm looking for like RA, chaplain, pastor, leader, CFO. Like, I want like a big, I want to be in charge of some people. I want to be in charge of some money, some people. Like, I was on this leadership hunger thirst trap, right? And so I went and sat in the office. They said, you can't be an RA. I was like, okay, why not? And they were like, because you're not qualified. I was like, okay. And so then they said, you could try out to be a chaplain. So I try out to be a chaplain, and they're like, nah, you're not really chaplain material, Paul. And so I was like, okay. So then I tried out for the worship band at ORU, and I had dreams of being on the worship band. I was like, okay, I'm gonna be a worship leader. And they said, you're not really good enough. I tried out, and they were like, nope, you didn't make it, you know? No one hit the button. No judges turned around and said, you're accepted. They all rejected me. I tried out for the choir. I thought maybe I'll, you know, I wanted to have a badge that like gave me a title, like choir member or RA or chaplain or, you know, pastor, leader. Like, I wanted some title, some position. And God was trying to teach me that I don't need a title to live with purpose. That I don't need a position to be fulfilled with a purpose. God was teaching Joseph, Joseph, you don't have to have a title to be a leader. You can learn to lead from the bottom up. You can learn to lead in the middle. You can learn to lead without a position, without status, without being placed in charge of anyone. You can lead right here. And Joseph was bought by Potiphar for $20. 20 bucks. I think I have a $20 bill somewhere around here. There it is. Oh, I got two 20s. Ooh. Okay, I'm gonna use both of these. All right. How many of y'all believe that these two $20 bills are worth 40 bucks? How many of y'all believe it's 40 bucks? Okay. Now, what if I take one of these 20s and I crumple it up? Is this still worth as much as this? They both still have the same value. But what if I say, you worthless piece of trash? Y'all are like, wow. Tell us how you really feel. You're good for nothing, right? I'm like practicing my movie lines. What if I just call this thing a bunch of names? Is it still worth just as much as this? And what if I spit on it? How many of y'all believe this is still worth just as much as this? Would you want this? Y'all like, no, give me the one that hasn't been messed with. But oftentimes this is our life, right? We're looking at someone who seems to have some perfect life on Instagram, and we're going, man, they've never been through the abuse I've been through. They've never experienced the pain. They didn't have their parents divorced. They didn't have their parents leave them. They didn't go through all the verbal abuse that I went through. And God says, yeah, but you're still valuable. God still sees you as valuable, just as valuable as this one. Yeah, but this one's crispy. This one's clean. No, this one just looks crispy and clean. This one's been handled by the Tulsa State Fair guys too, okay? This one's been through some hands. I think sometimes Instagram covers up all of our wounds and our imperfections, and we try to pretend like we don't have issues. But even the pastor's kids, even the people that have been in church their whole life, they've got stuff. And God says, you're both valuable. Don't let what people say to you determine your worth. Don't let what people have done to you determine your worth. You are valuable, Joseph, not because Potiphar paid 20 bucks for you. You're priceless. Not because your brothers, listen, just because your dad gave you a coat, that's not what made you valuable. God gave you life. You were made in his image. And Joseph understood that his value came from his creator. And when you understand that your value comes from your creator, then you can live with purpose despite what your paycheck is. Because people go, well, I'm only as good as my paycheck. They're only paying me 20, but like Paul, they don't even value me. If you saw the way people treated me and how they ignored me and my boss, yeah, but your value doesn't come from your boss. Your value doesn't come from your employer. Your value doesn't come from your nation. Your value doesn't come from your skin color. Your value comes from your creator, and you are just as valuable as anyone else out there. And don't let anyone determine your worth except for your creator. And it redefines favor for all of us Americans who think favor is driving a Tesla, living in a big house, and having a six-figure salary. That's not favor. Favor is when God's hand is on your life and you are impacting your community, and hell can't stop you, and Potiphar's wife can't stop you, and Pharaoh can't stop you. So Joseph knew where his value was from, and he knew where his purpose came from. And I love verse 2, Genesis 39, verse 2. It says, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is with you in the valley, and he's with you on the mountaintop. The Lord is with you in the darkness. He's with you in the hell on earth type of season. He's with you in the abusive. And you go, well, if he's there, then why am I going through this? And life is not fair. God did not exempt Joseph from trouble. The Christian life, I think sometimes we misunderstand that the Christian life is not an exemption from pain. Sometimes it's even a greater invitation to walk through persecution. Because when you live for God, not everybody's gonna like it. When you live with confidence that comes from the Holy Spirit and you believe that he's got a plan for your life, not everybody's gonna be pumped for your dream. So when you decide to follow Jesus, you are going to walk through pain. And even just without following Jesus, our world is a broken world. So there's pain and there's abuse and there's trouble and there's heartache, but God is still with you. God was with Joseph in the pit. And I know sometimes in our minds, we're like, well, if he was there, why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he stop the brothers from selling him? Why didn't God stop the abuse from happening? Why didn't God stop the bullies from messing with my son? Why didn't God stop it? And there's questions that we can ask. And listen, God can handle those questions. But Joseph learned, instead of living with so many questions and resentment, he learned to trust in God and put his faith in God and release the questions and say, Lord, no matter where I am, no matter what people do, I'm gonna trust in you and I'm gonna make the most of Egypt. I'm gonna learn to make the most of a frustrated place. See, favor is unmerited. In other words, the favor that God gives you, you can't earn it. He gives it to you freely. It is his nature. But you can position yourself for favor. I can't earn the favor of God, but I can position myself. Where Joseph positioned himself for favor was instead of raising his fist at God saying, why did you let this happen? Joseph came right here. You want to position yourself for favor in a frustrated place? Get on your knees. You can be angry all day at God for the things that didn't go right in your life. And you tell me where that gets you. You tell me where resentment and bitterness and questioning and angry at God, you tell me how that goes. But I've learned, even when my father passed away, that I'm better on my knees than I am with my fist at heaven. That there's something here that God begins to heal my broken heart. There's something here where God says, I know you wanted it that way, but even in this, you're gonna see the goodness of God. And even though you might feel surrounded by enemies on every side, you're also surrounded by the deliverance and the favor of God. And even though you might find yourself in a frustrated place, Paul, even here, you're going to see a victory. I'm going to turn what the enemy meant for harm into your good, Joseph. What your brothers sent to try to kill you and destroy you, I'm going to use as a launching pad and a setup for your promotion. You are one step closer to your dream, and you're closer than you realize. So God was with Joseph. God is with Daniel. God is with Antonio. God is with John. God is with Abby. God is with Sharon. God is with you. Even in that secular job, Joseph was not working for a Christian boss. He was not working for a church. He was not working in a perfect environment. He was surrounded by immorality. But instead of letting the culture shape his character shaped the culture. Instead of letting the culture and the environment and the circumstances to determine his purpose shifted the circumstances. Joseph was so strong that he walked into a toxic environment and he changed it. Watch what happens. It says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. He's living in a house that is secular, that is godless. They worship sex. They worship immorality. They worship all kinds of stuff in Egypt. It was dirty. It was unclean. It was Vegas times 1,000. Lust was everywhere. There was idolatry everywhere. And yet Joseph prospered in a secular environment. You don't need a perfect president or a perfect king to prosper as a man of God or prosper as a church. You can prosper in any season when God is with you. But when we hear the word prosper, we immediately go, money, prosperity, checks in the mail, bonuses. And that's not what prosperity is. Prosperity for Joseph didn't mean more money. It meant more impact and influence. He was prospering to be salt and light in Egypt. And I think we need to redefine what prosper means. Prosper means that God shines a light on you in a place that wouldn't make sense for light to shine. Prosper means that when you show up to work, people notice how good you are at your job, and there's some sort of like momentum, some sort of second wind that's on you that just sets you apart. You look different in the eyes of other people. People notice. This is what happened with Joseph. As he began to prosper in his work, look in verse 3, it says, when his master saw that the Lord was with him. Does your boss see that God is with you? Does your supervisor see that you have a relationship with God? Because your relationship with God should cause you to prosper in your work. Your relationship with God should set you apart. That you're showing up on time, you're diligent, you're working hard. Again, you can't earn the favor of God, but you can position yourself for the favor of God. Joseph was on time. He worked hard. He didn't file for unemployment and say, I just need money to come to me even though I've got 2 hands, 2 feet, and I can work this job. Joseph was not living lazy. Joseph was living diligent. He was working hard. He was giving his best. In a society where people just settled for mediocre service, Joseph served with an excellent spirit. Can that be said about you and your job? Because we ask God to bless us, but we disregard what God has asked us to do. To work unto the Lord, to give it our whole heart. Colossians chapter 3 says, work as if everything you do is for the Lord. Work with excellence, work with diligence. When Joseph worked hard, his master, his boss, saw that God's hand was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. So God wants to give you success at your job. God doesn't want you to eke your way through life. He doesn't want you to just survive. He wants you to succeed. When I was at ORU and I didn't get a title or position, the only job available was to work as a janitor. And so that's what I did. I signed up to work as a janitor. I was making $5.25 an hour. Come on, somebody. So my paychecks at the end of 2 weeks were like $97. After all the, you know, tax, everything that was taken out of there. And it was frustrating. It was a frustrated season. It lasted for about 2.5 to 3 years. I wasn't always pumped to pick up people's nachos. I had to clean up the baseball stadium after baseball games. I had to pick up in the Maybe Center. I remember setting up tables and chairs. And when it was cold outside in the winter, when it was icy, we had to get up at 5 a.m. and put salt all across the prayer tower, you know, pathway where people would walk to the student center from their dorms. And I remember days, nights, mornings, just frustrated with my job. Have you ever been frustrated with your job, frustrated with the season in your life? Yeah, and I remember during that season, like I was single and I was watching people just like make out in the prayer gardens and just like, there was like, which was weird. Why are you making out in the prayer gardens? But you know, like Jesus is sitting on the bench. They actually have like a statue of Jesus and like a guy and a girl just making out next to Jesus. And the praying hands, just people kissing in front of the praying hands. Like, I don't know, maybe it's romantic, but I remember during that season, I was so frustrated. I was frustrated with my job. I was frustrated with my relationship status. I was frustrated with so many things. And yet even in the frustration, I was finding favor. And you've got to learn to look at the favor and let the favor change your perspective about the frustration. Because you might have more favor than you realize, but you're focused on your frustration. And so you're not enjoying this season. And God goes, yeah, but didn't you see how I used you to be a light this week? I remember talking to my friend Jeremy Richardson. He was working for Red Rock Canyon as a waiter. And while he was working there, it was not like his dream job. He did it for 3-4 years, him and Tara. And he said, man, the customers are not always friendly. They'll yell at you. They're mean sometimes. I know none of you Victory people are like this, but he said, you know, he said they, instead of leaving a tip, they would leave a track, you know, and invite us to church. But then they would tell us how bad, you know, how slow we were. And he said, there was nights where I just was frustrated with working this job as a waiter. But he said, even in my frustration, God was using me. He said, I couldn't shake the fact that God had me there on assignment. That God was using me and giving me purpose to minister to the other waiters and waitresses. That God was using me to lead people to Christ. He said, I was able to invite so many people to Victory Church during those 3-4 years. I was witnessing and I was constantly bringing people who were far from God closer to God. Sometimes prosperity and success is different than you realize. Sometimes it has nothing to do with this. It has everything to do with being a witness to the people around you. Favor isn't fair, literally. Sometimes the favor of God will land you in a pit and your brothers will strip you of your coat and ignore you. Sometimes favor will land you in Potiphar's house and you'll make $5.25 an hour and you'll work hard and you'll help the whole house to prosper, but your paycheck never changes. And you go, I don't want that kind of favor. I want the American dream kind of favor. And God says, you need to redefine favor, because favor looks different in different seasons. Sometimes favor is less about this and more about you just being a light in Egypt, being a light in a dark place. Like when I talk to missionaries who are in Iraq and Afghanistan and people who are serving overseas, ministering overseas, they're like, man, the favor of God is all over our orphanage. Tell me about it. We eat rice and beans every day. And we're lucky if we get a chicken. We get a chicken like once a year. But the favor of God is so strong on our orphanage right now. We're changing an entire community, and it redefines favor for all of us Americans who think favor is driving a Tesla, living in a big house, and having a six-figure salary. That's not favor. Favor is when God's hand is on your life and you are impacting your community, and hell can't stop you, and Potiphar's wife can't stop you, and Pharaoh can't stop you. Joseph found favor in a frustrated place. And watch this. When his master saw that he had favor and success in everything he did, he became his top attendant, employee of the month, employee of the year, his top attendant. And when I read attendant, I looked up, what does attendant mean? It means waiter. And so I got my apron today because Joseph was his top hostess in Potiphar's house. He found favor to become, and I thought I would serve you today at Victory Restaurant.
I've Let got us some put food. Up a chair as the dining room proudly presents your dinner.
Your dinner. B.
B.
Ah. Yes.
Guest. Be our
Who
guest.
Who wants some cookies
put
this
our
morning?
Service to
Anybody
the
want
guest.
Some milk?
Tie
cookies?
Your
Pastor
Ty? Your neck
milk?
And
Get some milk. Cookies?
The rest.
Chocolate milk? Regular milk?
God wants to give you favor even in frustrating places. You know, the favor of God doesn't eliminate your circumstances. It just causes you to shine even in the midst of them. Joseph didn't get delivered from the job he was working in as a slave in Egypt, but he had favor in the middle of a difficult place with a difficult boss. Even with the temptation of the boss's wife, he still had favor. And God will give you favor even in places where he may not remove you from the place or remove the people out of your life, but he'll cause you to have a shining ability to succeed even in spite of all the difficulties. I've seen it happen in my life. times where I saw the favor of God in a job that was difficult to work, under a boss that was hard to work, hard to please. And I've seen the favor of God show up in places where I thought, man, was that really the favor of God? It was. And God wants to give you favor even when you're in difficult places. Now, the question is, just like you heard in the sermon, what are you going to do even when you're in that frustration? Are you going to choose to see that God's with you? We have a choice every day what we're going to fix our eyes on, what we're going to focus on. In spite of all the bad things that might be happening, we can see that God is still on the throne, He's still with us, and He still has favor for you in that place. God will use you to be a servant, just as Joseph learned to serve people. And you know what? The greatest title in the kingdom of God is not pastor, it's not husband, it's not wife, it's not even daddy or mommy or CEO or CFO or director. The greatest title is servant. And if you'll take on that posture of a servant, I promise you, you'll see the favor of God. He exalts those who humble themselves, but He humbles those who exalt themselves. Pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, God, I surrender. Lord, use me for Your purpose, and I will choose to serve You and be a servant to my generation. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer, God's going to give you favor. He's going to help you serve the people around you on a greater level. We love you. We're thinking about you, praying for you. God's not finished with you yet. If you're ever in Tulsa, come join us for a service at Victory. Your best days are right in front of you.
You can listen to Pastor Paul's message and experience Victory anytime through our mobile Victory app in the App Store. When you have the app, you can listen to Victory every day. Just go to the App Store and type in Victory Tulsa. It'll pop right up. When you download it, you'll be able to watch or listen to the most current messages or the messages from the very beginning. Go online from your computer or phone right now to download it. Victory app is available in the App Store.
Victory Christian School is pursuing families that share our vision and standard for education. Our families are here on purpose. We raise up leaders of tomorrow by preparing the heart, mind, and body. With challenging academics, a celebration of the arts, and championship-level athletics, we are reaching new heights each year. Victory Christian School is more than an education. It's preparation for a calling.
Thank you for watching. This program is made possible by the generous donations of our television partners and friends.